for the basic theology. And we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road. And Paul gives this to us in two simple sentences. In chapter 4, verse 17, that Kelly read for us. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Therefore, because you're not supposed to do that, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Wow. And we want to take the trash back, don't we? We want to take the trash back. Be imitators of God. When I was young, my mom's stepfather, my grandfather, the only grandfather I knew, he was a very, very cool man. He was an historian for the Hudson Valley. He was musically talented. I don't know about gifted, but he was very musical. He knew a lot about history. He studied all the history of the Hudson Valley and was well-versed in that. He used to give presentations all over. He had an office with all these maps and cool little historical things that he let us play with. And he was just a man who had so many qualities and traits that I admired and imitate. Yeah, it took till I was an adult to appreciate what an impact he had on my life. My dad and I really never got along. We did, but we always butted heads because we were both stubborn, I guess, opinionated. But my dad was a man of integrity. He was a man of real integrity. He was a man who was widely, broadly read. He read so much kind of stuff all over. He liked music, even if it was country music. There are things about my dad I admire today, and I try to imitate. My mom was a gifted teacher. She could walk up to somebody who had absolutely no connection with her, you'd have no idea, and she'd just start a conversation. I mean, I remember going, I think it was with my grandmother, and we walked out to meet her. He was taking some classes as a teacher, and saw her on a park bench talking to some person who was dressed totally different from her, and just hanging out, and, what are you doing, Mom? I don't know, meet Paul. I just met him, and we're having a great conversation, and that was my mom. And I admire that. And I've tried to imitate that in my life. My grandmother's one who was so loving and giving and gentle, and the other who had such a forceful personality. I was in a car with her one time when on you know those roads that are one lane each way and have a double yellow line down them, when she passed two tractor trailers, by the way, in the car. Grandma, what are you doing? She goes, it's all right. It's not a problem. I could see. There are people who have impacted my life, who have had godly traits, things that are good and that I want to imitate. Paul, a few pages away from our text today, says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. How do we imitate God? We see Jesus Christ, God's self-revelation, as revealed to us in Scripture, in the Gospels. And we see his compassion. We see his patience. We see his grace. We see his healing. We see his teaching. We see all these things that Jesus was and is, that are the traits of God, the attributes of God that we are to imitate. Don't live like the world. Don't live like the Gentiles do. Be imitators of God. That's where I got that song. I love that. That's so much fun. But, you know, we're in the world. We are in the world. We can't deny that. We're in the world. And there are always things that each of us in the world like. We like music, or we like art. We like technology. We like science. We like fashion. We like finance. We like working with our hands and creating things. There are different things that attract each one of us. And we recognize that God is in most of those, and he provided us with most of those so that we could and can work for the glory of his kingdom. But we also recognize that in each of those, there is danger. There is danger. I mean, just because it's an easy one to pick on science and medicine. You know, we've developed all these kind of things. I remember as a kid, we had this bug spray that was so great to you know, for the garden, until we found out it was not so great. We all like the salt on our roads because we don't slip and slide all over. But where does that go? It goes into the soil. It goes into the streams. It goes down the storm drains and ends up in the ocean. That salt is not good for anybody. Just to keep us from slip sliding. On and on. Has anybody seen one of the great movies ever made, Jurassic Park? Right? And Jeff Goldblum, who played Dr. Ian Malcolm, there's one point where he's finally seen what the park is and it's being explained to him. And he says to John Hammond, the guy that developed this whole thing, he says, "But John, your scientists, your people didn't gain any of this knowledge themselves. They didn't earn it. And so they take no responsibility for it. They were so busy finding out what they could do, they didn't consider whether or not they should." There are dangers inherent. And that's not just in science. It's also in the arts, in the music. I grew up loving rock and roll, but I listened to some of it. I was listening to Truckin' by the Grateful Dead the other day. There's some disturbing. This is not a good example for me to follow. There are dangers inherent in the world. And when we start taking those things and taking those ideas out of them apart from God, we start worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. What we've created instead of the one who has put it there for the glory of his kingdom. We are his beloved adopted children. If you remember back to chapter 1, verse 5 at the very beginning, we are adopted as his children. We need to act like his children in imitation of our godly Father. We need to walk in love in imitation of God's self-revelation, Jesus Christ, who is the fragrant offering, not the reeking trash bag that we so often want to carry around. And then Paul goes on and says, you know, we like things that make us feel good. We like things that affirm us, that make us feel good, that make us feel valuable, that make us excited, that give us, release those endorphins and give us those feelings. But those are not always good, especially if they're not taken in the context apart from God. Sexual immorality and uncleanness, as it is in the Greek, or I forget what the word was in the, it doesn't matter, but the idea is, you know, or greed. You know, we grab onto these things for a feeling, you know, it makes me feel like a real man because I'm off on this amorous tryst or whatever, like that kind of, a real woman. Or I have all this stuff so I can provide for myself no matter what. And yet we find out that that's just a momentary gratification. That's a self gratification. It is a temporary and temporal fleeting gratification that has no lasting value. In fact, it turns out more often than not, if not always, to be destructive. Destructive for ourselves, destructive for those around us. It ruins families, it ruins. And Paul says those things are not even to be mentioned. And this is what sort of twisted in my mind. They're not even to be mentioned. Well, how can we point them out as sins if we're not supposed to mention them? And as I'm thinking about that, I was listening to National Public Radio, which I often do, and there was a story there about Thailand. Did you know that in Thailand, that if you say something against the royals, you can be arrested, convicted, and put in jail? And there was a man who said something nasty, I'm not sure what, against the royals in Thailand. He was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to 15 years in prison. And the man who accused him, in accusing him, had repeated what that man said and was subsequently arrested, tried, and convicted, and sentenced to 2 years in jail. There are certain things that are just not supposed to be mentioned. Not even to be named. From the commentary, thinking and talking about sexual sins creates an atmosphere in which they are tolerated and even promote their practice. How did some of these laws that are so antithetical, and I'm not talking about the people, I'm not talking about people who happen to practice things or are not in line with our Christian values. I'm not talking about that. Because it's a whole different thing. We are all made in God's image and we are all to be loved. It's a separate issue. But the laws that have been changed, how did they come about? They're acknowledged that these activities happen. That, well, that's what's going on, so we might as well just accept it. And then it becomes sort of normative. Well, it's just normal. You know, some people are like that. And then it becomes affirmed as a positive. And then all of a sudden, it's the ideal. We need to be careful how we talk about things. And this goes back to the idea of how do we point them out as sins as opposed to not mentioning them. What did Paul tell us we're supposed to do? We are supposed to be imitators of God. Our idea, our ideal, although there is a place for that, for pointing out error and pointing out sin, but our main direction should be imitating God, showing people where they should go, what a full, abundant life in Christ can be. And I'm not saying that we should accept sin. I'm not saying that. Don't hear that, because I'm not saying that. I'm saying we need to be the example. There are not examples out there. There are not examples in our government. I mean, maybe there are, but we don't see them today. We're not seeing it over the last few weeks. There are so few. There are some. There are few in our schools. There are few in our jobs. There are few in our communities that are really standing out there and imitating God day after day after day. And we need to understand what the principles are, what godly principles are, in order to bring them and imitate them. And I was working through this last night late, because it's been one of those weeks. And I was trying to figure out how to say this and make it real. We need to find a way as Christians to imitate God in a way that people will look and see those values as valuable. That they will see those values and not just turn off and walk away. I had a discussion with somebody the other day, and you know, and the discussion ended up, if somebody walked up to me and handed me a tract, I don't want it. Why? Because they don't know me. They don't know what I need. They don't know what I'm doing. They don't know where I'm going. They don't know anything about me. But if somebody walks up to me and engages me in a conversation about positive things, well, it's a conversation. And if I see that person again, I am more likely to be engaged in conversation with that person than I would have been if somebody handed me a tract and walked on to the next person. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with tracts. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with sharing Christianity and sharing Christian doctrine. But we need to be more about sharing Christian values in our world, being imitators of God instead of being too in your face so that people will just turn off and walk away. Does that make sense? Does it? And we need to be people of integrity. We need to be seen as people who not only believe in those values, but live those values, who walk out those values, who carry those in our lives. G.K. Chesterton, who is one of the great theologians, I believe, of the 20th century. I'm not sure exactly when he lived. He wrote this: a dead thing can go with the stream. A dead thing can go with the stream. But only a living thing can go against it. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Therefore, be imitators of God. You know, the life of immorality, the life of uncleanness, the life of greed is a dead thing. It doesn't give life. It doesn't bring us anywhere. It doesn't advance the kingdom. And any benefit or good feeling we get from that is temporary. It's just going with the stream. What did Paul say? Do not conform to the things of this world, but be being transformed. Be being transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's what we need to do. We need to walk in the light. We need to walk God's path. We need to live Christian values, godly values, and we need to articulate those values when we have the opportunity. And if we can do that, we are going to make a difference in New Paltz and the surrounding area. And if we do that, we're going to make a difference in Ulster County and the surrounding area. And if we do that, who knows what God will do? Who knows? I don't, but God does. And all he asks you to do, all he asks you to do, me to do, is be an imitator of God, yourself. To live out those values, to know what they are, Philippians 4:8, whatever is good, whatever is commendable. Live them out and know them well enough to articulate them when you have an opportunity. And you will make a difference for Christ. You will. And he says this finally: address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Address people, other people, in a language that expresses godly principles. What do hymns and psalms do? They express God's heart, God's principles, what God wants for us, how he wants us to live our lives. Talk to each other in that kind of language. Singing and making a melody to the Lord with your heart, positive, joy-filled, godly speech. Let's be joyful. Let's spread smiles. Let's spread uplifting giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look around us and see God at work in our world. Too often we say, oh, that's a beautiful rainbow. That's a beautiful sunset. Those trees are gorgeous up in the mountains. You know, reds and yellows and golds. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You're riding down the road and you're sort of halfway paying attention and somebody ducks out from between two cars right in front of your car. You hit the brakes. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Not, oh, I'm glad my reflexes were great. Thank you, Jesus. Because you know what? You could have been looking for that thing you dropped on the floor. You could have just had that one little reaction. It could have been a half a second earlier. It could have been. Thank you, Jesus. Let's be imitators of God. Let's spread good news. Let's lift each other up. Let's call sin, sin. Yes, no doubt. No, I can't do that. You know why? Because that's not God's way. That's not what God wants for me. It's not what God wants for you either, but here is what he wants. Here is what he desires. Let's be in that mode. Because God desires for us to be with him, to be in communion with him, to be gathered up. Remember this? He wants all things gathered up in unity with Christ. And if we're not willing to be imitators of God, Paul tells us right here, we're not going to be gathered up. So our desire should be to bring that good news to each person that we meet with smiles and in a way that they will hear how much God loves them. And as we move to the communion table, I just want to start by reading a brief section from a book by Henri Nouwen. I don't know if you know the name. It's pretty amazing guy, and he wrote, "The Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, is the most ordinary and the most divine gesture imaginable." Sort of like when we imitate God. We're doing something divine and yet ordinary. It's a part of our lives. Jesus is God for us, God with us, God within us. Jesus is God giving himself completely, pouring himself out for us without reserve. Jesus doesn't hold back or cling to his own possessions. He gives all there is to give. Eat, drink, this is my body, this is my blood, this is me for you. We all know of this desire to give ourselves at the table. We say, eat and drink, I made this for you. Right? We know this. Take more. It's there for you to enjoy, to be strengthened, yes, to feel how much I love you. What we desire is not to simply to give food, but to give ourselves. Be my guest, we say. Mi casa es su casa. And as we encourage our friends to eat from our table, we want to say, be my friend, be my companion, be my love, be part of my life. I want to give myself to you. In the Eucharist, in Holy Communion, Jesus gives all. And the word that best expresses this mystery of God's total self-giving love is communion. It is the word that contains the truth that in and through Jesus, God wants not only to teach us, instruct us, or inspire us, but to become one with us. God desires to be fully united with us so that all of God and all of us can be bound together in a lasting love. The whole long history of God's relationship with us human beings is a history of ever-deepening communion. It is not simply a history of unities, separations, and restored unities, but a history in which God searches for ever new ways to commune intimately with those created in God's own image. Be imitators of God. Desire to be like him. to be fully, fully in intimate communion with him, because that is what he desires for you. Lord God, thank you for this word. Take the words that I have spoken, Lord, and energize them, make them what you want them to be, Lord, so that we receive your word, your message, your heart for us, that we can imitate the God who is above all, in all, and through all. In Jesus' name. And on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body for you." For you. Because bread that is not taken, blessed, and broken does us no good. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. You know what? You messed up. You fell down. I understand that. Hand over the trash. That's my job. Give it over. Start new. Here's a new covenant. Here's a fragrant covenant. Here's a chance to take that eraser and clean the board. Here's a new covenant in my blood. Take and drink." And as often as you eat this bread and you drink this wine, remember me, because I love you. Amen. Body and blood of Christ for you. That's right. Relax. Dave Carroll, body and blood for you. On that night that he was betrayed, on that night, with those who would betray him, who would turn him in, who would turn their backs, you don't have to be perfect to accept this meal. You just have to love the one who loves you. Eat all. drink. I know it's running a few minutes late, but there's a great song I'd like to share with you. It's Easy. I like easy songs. And it wraps up the message.